Welcome to the Shir in Targum Parshas Vayetze. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Rabbi Yehuda Blank, marking the yard site today of his father, Tzvi Aryeh ben Moshe Halevi, and Neshama should have an aliyah, Shizim Moshtach Asura, and Tarmis is in Maisim Tovim that the family is involved in. Just wanted to pick up towards the end of the Sedra, Perek Lamed Aleph. So Yaakov Avinu, after receiving a nevuah message from the Ribbono Shel Olam and consulting with his wives, decides that it's time for him to leave Haran. So Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayakom Yaakov rose up, Vayisas Bano V'yasnasho V'al Hagmalim, and he carried his sons, he took his sons and his wives on the donkeys, and they start making their way back to Eretz Yisrael. V'lavan halach ligzos es tzono, Lavan went to shear his sheep, v'tignov Rachel es hatrafim asher le'oviha. And Rachel stole the trafim that belonged to her father. So the Targum Unculus over here gives a little bit of a variation on the translation. The Targum Unculus writes, Unesevas Rachel. Rachel took, as opposed to Rachel stole. And it translates what the trophim are, Yost Silmonaya. She took the tzlomim, she took the images, the statues, Dila Avua, that belonged to her father. So the significance of the first change, instead of saying Vatignov, that she stole them, by making that into Unesevas, she took them, it takes away, it softens a little bit of the harsh language which otherwise the Torah is using with regard to Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu is a ganot, but she stole the trophim. She took the trophim. Now again, you'll ask me, okay, well, isn't taking something that doesn't belong to you, I think the word that we use for that is stealing. Yeah, of course, it comes down to the same thing. But the fact that the Targum doesn't even want to associate the word gneva, thievery, with Rachel is part of that sensitivity. Of course, we know Rashi says, why was she stealing the trophim? She was stealing the trophim with Lavan's best interests in mind. Rashi writes, Lahafrish is Oviyo me'avod azoris kavno. Her interest was to ensure, right, she's doing him a favor. She wants to make sure that Lavan's not going to be caught up in the web of worshipping Avodah Zarah. Okay, so, you know, she was justified in taking it, but yeah, at the same time, again, the Targum is sensitive to the character, to the portrayal of the Avos and Imos, Unaseva, she took them. No, not that she stole them, she took them. Right, so she's got a new one. Right, so it's an interesting question. So what was she accomplishing? So he'll go to the store, and he'll get another one, right? So I think the answer is one of two things, and maybe both. I mean, first of all, she's sending a message. Right, she's sending a message. So maybe that will do something. Number two, okay, so if he goes a day without worshipping Avodah Zarah, that's something. In other words, you know, if it takes him a day to make it to the store and buy the replacement trophim, you know, he goes online, you know, Amazon, you know, okay, well, look, it's going to take us 3 days to ship it. Okay, so 3 days without a Avodah Zarah is something. Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting. That's a very interesting mahalach. In other words, maybe Lavan was being frum for the grandchildren. Right, she was being frum for the... Right, it could be. It's an interesting idea. In other words, now that you put them in the closet anyway, so I'll just... Right, in other words, how did she... And it answers an interesting question. How did she think that he wasn't going to notice? Right, I mean, he does notice. Right. Lama gone after us, Elohai. Why'd you steal my guys? Right. But maybe they were in the closet, you know, for a long time. And maybe, it could be, I hear that. The Targum Yodos of Uziel, interestingly, does not sugarcoat, if you will, the verb that describes how Rachel took the trophim. V'lovan azal l'migas yos onei. You know, the Targum Yodos writes, Lovan went to shear his sheep. Ugnavas Rachel. Yas Somanaya. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel uses the word gneva, you know, just like the pasuk. She stole, you know. The Targum Unkelus was a little more, you know, it softened the blow. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel has no qualms using that word, interestingly enough. And the Yonasan Ben Uziel also brings a fascinating description of what these trufim were exactly. I mean, we picture, I don't know what we picture. We probably picture something, you know, if we walk a mile into Chinatown and, you know, look outside, you know, just like every single store over there, we probably picture something like that, you know, is the trufim. But the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, based on the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, gives the following description. But Ugnavas Rochi asks Salmanaya, she stole the tzlamim, the images. What were these images? To have a nachsin gavra buchra. In that area, they used to slaughter a man who was a firstborn. V'chazmin reishin. And they would peel off his head. They would peel his head, his severed head. U'malchin oso b'melach u'besamim. Malchin lei b'milcha u'vesmanin. Right? They would then salt the head. They would pickle the head with salt and other kinds of spices. V'kosmin kusmin b'tzitza d'dahava. They would write various different inscriptions on a golden tablet. V'yavin t'chos l'shane. And they would take this tablet and put it under the tongue of the severed head. U'mekimin lei b'kusla. They would set up this corpse, you know, that had been so grotesquely transformed. They would set him up in a by a wall. U'mamalel imahon. And, you know, through some kind of magic or sorcery or whatnot, you know, this, whatever they did to put under his tablet would cause this corpse to interact with them, to speak with them. So, you know, that these were the trufim that that Lavan was involved in. And the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel concludes, V'ilen hunun dehava gochin lahun ahuv avuha. It was these items that the father of Rachel and Leah, i.e., you know, Lavan, would bow down to on a regular basis. Again, they did something to this pickled head that gave it somehow the power of speech, don't ask me, right? But they somehow were able to manipulate it in that kind of way. And again, it had a really profound effect on them. Very interesting. So where the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, where the Yonasan Ben Uziel get this whole description from? I mean, again, the simplest answer apparently must be that's the Masorah that they had. In other words, we don't know what Trofim are. You know, again, we picture like these little statues that they were worshipping, but it was a whole to-do, you know. It was a much more complicated and really grotesque, you know, kind of procedure according to the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer. I mean, if you think about it, later on in the parasha, when Rachel takes the Trofim and hides it under her pillow, it gives you a heightened sense of what that must have been like. I mean, you take the severed head, stick it on your pillow, and sit on it. It's a little creepy. I'm just thinking about it. But that's what's going on, according to the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, the Yonasan Ben Uziel. What's that? That's a very interesting point, and it actually helps address the question that was asked before. So Rachel steals the trofim. So good. So he'll go out the next day and he'll get replacement trofim. So this was not a simple thing. I'm assuming that it wasn't an everyday occurrence that they were just, you know, killing and decapitating you know, a firstborn guy to serve as trofim. I would certainly hope that wasn't an everyday occurrence. This was probably something they did once in a long time. And because of that, the trufim were not so easily replaceable. So in terms of, like, where the Yonasan Ben Uziel gets this idea from, again, that it could be that that's, besides whatever Masorah they had as to what trufim are, it could be that it helps answer that particular question. That's why stealing them, you know, really would have made a dent in the Avodah Zarah that Lavan was engaged, it wasn't so simple to replace these trophims. Excellent point. I was thinking also that, you know, Lavan, with all of his faults, is a member of the house of Avraham Avinu. And, you know, for somebody who's part of the family of Avraham Avinu, just to worship statues just seems very hard to accept. I mean, again, okay, so they were of the Avodah Zarah, but there was, you know, it's part of that family. So even the Avodah Zarah of Lavan was something that was on a different level. It was at least a talking head. You know, it was something which, again, obviously is Avodah Zarah and is awesome and is terrible and all of that, but it wasn't just stam a piece of wood, stam a piece of stone, you know, that was that? It was impressive. You know, in other words, to get someone from the family of Avraham Avinu to worship Avodah Zarah, you can't just have your garden variety Avodah Zarah. It has to be something which is, you know, on a higher level. Again, obviously, Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. It's not that anyone is better than any other one, but at least we can understand a little bit better how someone from that family could have been brought in, you know, sucked in to such a terrible, terrible practice. So that's this, again, fascinating description of what the trophim were. The next pasuk also uses the word to steal. Vayignov Yaakov eslev Lavan ho'arami. Yaakov stole the heart of Lavan ho'arami. Al b'lihi gidlo ki boreachu, because he didn't tell him that he was running away. The sense of that, obviously, it's not meant literally, that he literally stole the heart of Lavan, but rather it's an expression that he deceived him. He stole his heart. You know, he deceived him. He fooled him into not sharing with him that he ran away. Here too, the Targum Unculus also paraphrases the discussion about Yaakov stealing. We don't want to talk about Rachel stealing. We don't want to talk about Yaakov stealing. V'chasi Yaakov min Lavan Arama'a. Yaakov concealed from Lavan Ho'arami the fact that he was running away. Aldalo chavi le'are azelhu, by not telling him that he was running away. Again, the Targum, both Targumim, as much as possible, certainly the Targum Unculus, want to, you know, use language with regard to the Avos and Imos that would never even associate them, even in a metaphoric sense, you know, with the idea of Geneva, of stealing in some way. Okay, so the next pasuk says, so he ran away. Vayivrach hu v'chol asher lo, Yaakov, together with everything that he had, ran away. Vayakom vayavor es hanohar. He got up and he crossed over the river. Vayosem espanov hara gilod. And he went in the direction of Gilod, which, i.e., in the modern-day Golan Heights, right? He was making his way towards the Golan Heights. Which river did he cross? So the pasuk doesn't say. The Targum Unculus, as well as the Targum Yonos and Menuzio, right? V'kam v'avar yas pros. He crossed over the Euphrates River. And if you remember, the Targum Unculus had told us before that where Lavan was situated was right by the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River goes through Iraq, but ultimately goes up north to Syria. Where Haran was, where Haran is in Syria, right by the Euphrates River. That's why it's called Aram Naharayim. So Aram of the rivers, which we saw the Targum Unculus says, it's not that it was two different rivers, it sat on the Euphrates. So if it sat on the Euphrates, why is there a reference to two rivers? So we saw some of the Mepharshim, but the Targum Unculus understand that there was a fork in the Euphrates River, and that's where Haran was located. It wasn't two separate rivers, but it was just a fork within the Euphrates River itself. So he crossed over the Euphrates River. It's a major river. You know, sometimes we read the pasuk, we think, okay, you know, there was a little, there was a trickle, there was a puddle, you know, a stream or whatever that he crossed over. No, he crossed over one of the major rivers in the Middle East to get back home. And we certainly appreciate, based on that, why that slowed Lavan down in his quest, you know, to try to catch up with Yaakov. By you, God, Lavan, by Yom Ashlishi, Kivarach Yaakov. Lavan was told on the third day after Yaakov had left that Yaakov had run away. How did he find out on the third day? So again, the simple pshat, you read the pasuk, you say, okay, well, I mean, obviously they didn't talk every day if you only found out on the third day that Yaakov had run away. But okay, at a certain point, you start asking, you know, I've gotten the text from the guy in, you know, a little while. Where is he? You know, you start asking around, you know, anyone seen Yaakov? No, I haven't seen Yaakov. That's the simple pshat. That's what we assume what happened. Yonasan ben Uziel gives a different understanding as follows. Ubasar dazal Yaakov. After Yaakov had left, Kamu ro'aya albeira. The shepherds of Lavan went to go to the well to get water for their flocks. V'lo ashkachu mayo. They couldn't find any water in the well. All of a sudden, the well had gone dry. V'amtinu tlasa yomin. They waited for 3 days, you know, checking in at the well. I don't know if they waited mamish at the well for 3 days, but they checked in and out for 3 days. Dilma dehei taifa. Maybe in those 3 days, some of the water will rise to the surface of the well. V'lo tofas. And it didn't happen. The water didn't rise up to the top of the well. U'v'cheni tani l'lovan b'yomat lisa'a. So they went back on the third day, and they told Lavan on the third day that the water isn't rising to the top of the well. V'yeda arum arak Yaakov. And he realized at that point that it must be that Yaakov had run away. In other words, the truth is Lavan and Yaakov didn't have much to do with one another directly, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The only way that Lavan realized that Yaakov had run away was the simon, the sign that the shepherds had brought to him, because the well, was the water in the well wasn't rising to the top. And Yaakov's and Lavan said, must be because Yaakov's not here anymore. Because for the past 20 years that he's been here, it's in his merit that the water is rising up to the top of the well. You'll recall, we learned earlier in the week, that Yonasan ben Uziel had said that the motivation for Lavan to switch Leah and Rachel was to keep Yaakov with them as long as he possibly could. Lavan rent to the townspeople, you know, when he made this big feast the night before Leah was going to be married to Yaakov. And according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, he went to the townspeople and he said, look, Yaakov has been working for the past 7 years trying to marry Rachel. And the past 7 years we've experienced such bounty and such plenty like we never had before. If he marries Rachel, whom he intends to marry, he's going to marry her, they're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to lose everything. We can't afford that. We've got to figure out a trick to keep this person here as long as we possibly can. You know what? Let's substitute Leah for Rachel. Let's get, you know, Yaakov to sign on the dotted line that he's committed to another 7 years. And then we know, even at the end of those 7 years, so Yaakov says, okay, Shalcheni ve'elcha makomi el ha'artzi, you know, send me home. I'm done. You know, I've been here for my 14 years. And Lavan manages to push him to do another 6 years. What's Lavan motivated by? So Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, you see that there was tremendous prosperity. Even the water rising to the top of the well was in the schus, was in the merit of Yaakov Avinu. So the minute 3 days go by and there's no water rising to the top of the well, so says Lavan, I am sure that Yaakov has run away. Right? That's the simon, that's the sign that he sees, according to the Yonasan ben Uziel. Yeah. And it's interesting, right? In other words, here, Yaakov is clearly such a spiritually powerful person, if so many things are being done by him, and yet it sounds like Lavan was ready to kill him, right? So, you know, you kill the goose that laid the golden eggs. In other words, yeah, you know, you're a good sign, but now you're not here anymore, so... yeah, but I guess he wasn't afraid, you know, for better or for worse. So he runs after Yaakov, And as Radovi mentioned a moment ago, the pasuk says in Chavdalid, "Vayavo Elokim Elovan Ho'arami Bachalom Aloyla. Hashem came to Lavan Ho'arami in a dream in the middle of the night. Vayomer lo, and Hashem said to him, Hishomer lecha pen tedaber im Yaakov mitov ad ra. Be very, very careful. Don't speak anything to Yaakov, not good, not bad. Right? So, it's interesting to note that the Targum Unculus over here gives the following translation. Va'asa meimar min kodem Hashem levas lovan aramo b'chelma d'leilya. A word from before Hashem came to Lavan Ho'arami in a dream at night. The Pasuk says Hashem appeared to Lavan in a dream in the night. Targum Unculus puts a couple of steps of distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Lavan Ho'arami. A word, a message, came to Lavan in the dream in the middle of the night. The message came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the point that the Targum Unculus is trying to bring out over here? Targum Unculus presumably is struggling with the following question. It's not a little thing to have a nevuah, to have a prophecy where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to you. Right? We know that the Rambam writes, a person has to prepare himself in so many different ways to be worthy of receiving nevuah. And here, Lavan, you know, who we also know as Lavan HaRasha, right? Unless he's not a good guy. You know, like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a dream in the middle of the night. You know, I say, how did he merit to have this Giloy Elokim, to have this revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to him? What kind of level is he on? I mean, on the one hand, we're saying he's the tremendous Rasha, he's ready to kill Yaakov. On the other hand, he's Zochet to Nevuah. I mean, how could that possibly be? So that's the Targum Unculus basically says, he wasn't really meriting Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him a message. I mean, again, what does it mean that Hashem sent him a message in a dream in the middle of the night? I don't know exactly, but it's something less, considerably less, than experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He had a message come to him in a dream, whatever that means exactly. Yeah, so Avimelech, do we have it over here? Avimelech, the Pasuk says, right, so there, by Avimelech, it's actually interesting. So the Pasuk there does have Hashem, even in the Targum Unculus, has Hashem himself appearing to Avimelech. This is Perek Chof, Pasuk Vav. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Elav Elokim b'chalom, v'amar lei Hashem b'chelma. Hashem himself said to Avimelech in the dream, right? The difference seems to be that, you know, whatever Avimelech's faults, you know, the Pasuk itself says, Gam anochi yodati ki b'sam levavcha asisa zos. I know you're innocent. I know that the only reason you took in Yitzchak was because you were misled to think that the only reason you took in Rivka was because you were misled to think that she wasn't actually Yitzchak's wife. But you yourself, you know, you're not such a bad guy. It's interesting to contrast that with Lavan. Lavan, apparently, according to the Targum Unculus, is not deserving of having HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear to him. Avimelech, whatever his faults are, is on a higher level than Lavan and does deserve to have that revelation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why is Unculus have the right to change the interpretation when he wants?
Right, so ultimately, as we pointed out, the Targum Unculus, Rashi writes on Chumash, derives from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, you know, spoke Aramaic, you know, so it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean necessarily the actual words of Unculus are from Sinai, but, you know, the Unculus was a channel for the ideas of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, which were conveyed through Unculus. You know, the Gemara mentions that Unculus, the Ger, shared his Targum, or perhaps was even instructed in how to make the Targum, by the two Tanoim, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yoshua. So now this isn't simply, you know, Unculus waking up one fine morning and saying, you know, maybe we should interpret it this way. You know, there's a tremendous amount of tradition behind these interpretations. Again, perhaps part of the Torah Shebaal Peh itself, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu receiving in Har Sinai. So, you know, there's this tradition that it can't be that Lavan had a direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It must have been indirect. This is made even more clear in the Yonasan ben Uziel's translation, where he writes as follows. V'asam malacha b'meimar min kodam Hashem. A malach came at the word of Hashem, ushlaf charba alavon rama b'chilma d'leilya. And he pulled out, the malach pulled out his sword, ready to use against Lavan Rama'a, Lavan the trickster. The pasuk calls him Lavan Ho'arami, Lavan the Aramean, but the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel understands that word Aramean is really Ramoy, you know, he's really a trickster. So the Malach pulls out a sword on him, V'amar lei, and the Malach said to him, Tarloch, be very, very careful. Dilma to Malilim Yaakov mitav ad bish, be very, very careful. Don't say anything to Yaakov. Good, bad, you know, when you catch up to him, just leave him alone. So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is even making more explicit that which is, you know, stated by the Targum Onkelos. A malach comes to love, and it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the truth is, in terms of translation, we know that the word Elohim often means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but often means other powerful beings. It can mean judges, it can mean malachim, you know, sometimes. So the translation of Ayavo Elohim, Elovan Ho'arami V'Chalom Haloyla, you know, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, you know, the Pasuk itself is saying a malach came to Lavan in this dream in the middle of the night. That's the simple pshat of the Pasuk itself. It's not an interpretation of the Pasuk, that's the translation of the Pasuk. You know, that a malach comes to Lavan Arami. Again, same idea, inconceivable, given the rishus, given the, you know, the evil that Lavan represented, that he should be zoche to have a direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll pick up with more of this Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael, Lefikach, Hirbo